Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Exactly 105 years ago, a new kind of light appeared. In December of 1910, a French inventor put neon gas into a sealed tube and then added an electrical charge. It was the first neon lamp, and it must have been breathtaking and completely engrossing. The word neon came from the Greek word neos, which means the new gas. This invention began a new era in lighting and in advertising. People would stop and stare at these signs that were visible even in the daylight and were given the nickname liquid fire. Do you remember the first time you saw a neon light? I do. It was impressive. Can you imagine major cities without that today? Imagine New York City without neon lights. Imagine Las Vegas without neon lights. Imagine the ballparks in many, Wrigley Field, for instance, the sign wouldn't just kind of disappear, wouldn't it? So maybe neon lighting is not such a great thing, at least in not in Las Vegas, but God offers a new lighting system that has been pushing back the darkness for a very, very long time. On the first day of creation, Genesis tells us that the earth was formless and darkness covered the face of the deep. In the face of that deep and disorderly darkness, God simply spoke a word. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. The very same thing happens today in places of deep darkness. And God says, "Let there be light." And there is light. We so need the illumination now more than ever. The nights are long at this time of year, and darkness of the night makes us think that the darkness that exists throughout our world will just never be dissipated. There is a darkness in the economic changes that threaten our jobs and our savings. High-skilled workers seem to be doing okay, but the less educated Americans are falling far behind. Interest rates, you know, you've seen what they've done. And people simply aren't willing to put money away into savings accounts and watch it grow like they used to. There is darkness in the acts of terrorism that we've witnessed recently. Torture and violence around the globe. The Islamic State is causing death and destruction in the Middle East, including the brutal murders of innocent Christians. There's darkness and poverty, homelessness in our communities. I've been told that somewhere around 40 million Americans is below the poverty line, and one out of 50 children is homeless. That's almost hard for me to believe. But then there's darkness in our pain, in our grief, in our depression, among family members, among friends. There's a darkness that we carry in guilt, fear, loneliness, deep within many of us. There is a darkness in this world, and we all know it firsthand. Because we so need illumination, we are always looking for the light. No matter how many times we've said, I can finally see the light at the end of the tunnel, we know that there's many people in our world where the light just never seems to come. But fortunately, God said in Genesis, "Let there be light," and there was light. And when God speaks, good things happen. This was true in the book of Genesis, and it has been true throughout human history. The Word of God is a powerful voice, bringing light into darkness, hope into despair, from despair, and even life from death. The Gospel of John tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And without Him, not one thing was made that was made. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In both Genesis and John, the Word of God brings light into darkness and life into places where we see only death. In John, we learn that the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory. The Word actually became flesh in Jesus Christ, in the One who was born in Bethlehem and grew up to be our Lord and Savior. The light of God is seen most clearly in Jesus, and we walk in the light when we stay close beside Him. The month of December can be a dark and deadly time, especially for the homeless who live in the colder regions of our country. The freezing temperatures, we all know, is right around the corner. They will come, and many will risk death from hypothermia during the winter. Thankfully, some Christians across our country respond by providing food and conversation and a place of shelter for sleep for someone who might need a roof over their head. What a privilege it's been for our congregation to be a part of a little bit of Haven, where we know that folks have actually come to Barnes and Children's Hospital and in that area, and one parent might stay with an infant child in the room while the other sleeps in the car because they had no funds to stay for maybe an entire month. And a little bit of Haven, which is just right down the street from these hospitals, is providing shelter now to families so that they have a warm place to stay and have snacks provided and sometimes, you know, meals as well. We like to practice radical hospitality, and the people that support the mission believe that's what our faith is all about. Such Christians offer places of light and warmth during times of darkness and freezing cold. The homeless of the community are shown real hospitality in the name of Jesus, in the name of One who was homeless at the time of His birth. And churches that help the homeless remember that what Jesus said, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me." When Jesus speaks, good things happen. The homeless are sheltered, the hungry are fed, the light appears in places of great darkness. So as Christians, at this Christmas time each year, we look for the light of Christ, the true light which enlightens everyone. John reminds us that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The story of the Bible begins in darkness. Genesis tells us that Adam and Eve rebelled against God and are cast out of the Garden of Eden. But there is this flicker of light to be found in the fact that God loved His creation and He would not destroy them when they disobeyed Him. In a turbulent time, the prophet Isaiah predicted that God would not abandon His people, but instead would send a child whose name was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. The light grows as the angel Gabriel announces that Mary will bring the Son of God. And as Mary and Joseph travel to Bethlehem, the light gets stronger as Jesus is born. As the glory of the Lord shines around a group of shepherds, it burns brightly as an army of angels praise God and say, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth among those whom he favors." On a dark, dark night, the glory of the Lord shone brightly. A child is born, the one who is destined to bring us life, the life that is the light of all people. If you're looking for God's light, you will find it in Christ. We are so challenged to keep our eyes on the light and to avoid being distracted by the bright lights of this world. Just a few years ago, many people were starting to treat the stock market as God, and they were seeing the market as all-powerful and all-knowing and ever-present throughout all life, and they were even putting their faith in the stock market and trusting the market to take care of them forever. And then the Great Recession came, and what a shock to a lot of people. But the market should never be confused with God. The only thing that is eternally trustworthy is the Word of God, which brings light into darkness and can never, ever be overcome. Once we find God's light in Jesus, we should not keep it to ourselves. Instead, we should carry it into our relationships with other people. We can bring light to a young woman feeling the darkness of loneliness. Light to a widower mourning the death of his wife. Light to a person who has just lost his job. Light to an immigrant who is struggling to learn English. Light to a man who has just received a cancer diagnosis. God has sent his light into the world, and he wants us to carry it into those places of darkness. In just a few minutes, you will be holding a flickering light in your candles. These lights in your hands are a sign of God's light coming into the world. They're not going to be as bright as neon, but they do remind us that God's light always, always shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Whatever new light that science comes up with, a new type of laser or some kind of new kind of electrically charged gas, it will never compete with God's light. And while God's light is not the newest of lights, God's illumination is always the steadiest and the best. Wherever we go, let's look for this light and share it with others. To the glory and praise of this Bethlehem child, whose birth we recognize and celebrate this day, he is the light of the world. And he is ours. In Jesus' name, amen.